Good morning.
Coffee. Gonna read one little thing here. Get us going. I am without beginning, middle, or end. I am never bound. By nature, I am pure and perfect, and this is my firm conviction. So, we have the topic today, five requests. We have five beautiful requests that came in. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. This is a participating effort here. Okay. We're probably going to have to do some of them next week because I don't think we're going to get all of these in today. And also I would like to say if the requester would like to dialogue on their request, please, please feel free to do so that we can have that interchange with which you have requested. And that's really what the Sunday talks are for. It's for us, to go over things and bring more light to something that you may be wanting. Okay. So while I try to figure out what the real question is from all of the requesting, and then the responses come in that I share those with you. But I suggest in all sincerity that you take the questions and you take the responses into the silence, okay? And make room for the understanding of what we have gone over to take place, to have a place to come and be presented from within you. Okay. The answers given are really nothing without an understanding of what you have been hearing. Okay. Okay. So those, that is, that is how you turn within to your being, within to the self, within to the silence. And it is within you that whatever the responses were are used to bring you to an understanding, a deeper understanding. With, again, without the understanding, the answers are just words. So, yeah, five breaths, beautiful. Okay, so let's take a moment. We're going to quiet. So let's take a breath and settle back into the recognition that there is no person here to be speaking. And there is no person there to be listening. Your Supreme Self alone is. So emptiness is our nature. So to be in this place of emptiness, we turn our attention to what we are. And again, as we go along today, just keep in mind that they are words. That's why the suggestion you take them within. And that words cannot speak truth. Words cannot be any more than just a pointing you in the direction. So, follow a breath in and being aware of a breath going out. Let go of mind. Just let it go. It isn't needed right now. And again, aware of the breath coming in to the body and aware of a breath going out, relaxing into the flow, cold breathing, knowing you are not the doer of breathing. Following a breath. Breathing is just a happening that you are aware of. Letting go of any thoughts or feelings or sensations. Just watching, but not doing. You are not a doer. So be as you truly are, empty. Empty of thoughts and feelings and sensations. Empty of ideas of doing, and empty of concepts and opinions. Leave I. Leave I am. Leave God. Leave the ideas of consciousness. And just be your natural being, empty. Empty. So let's take up that first request. And it says, recently, I have been making a point of consciously seeing the Christ in others, the light behind their eyes. To be honest, I am not sure whether it's making any difference. But it feels reassuring to consciously connect with the soul there. If you feel it's relevant, then I'd love you to talk with us more on that. Okay. First, we would ask, who is the I that is making the point of consciously seeing the Christ in others? Now, as a practice that might be helpful in understanding that there is no one there but myself, there are no others to see that light. In. That light that is present is yourself. It is not the light of an other. It is the oneness. And then the question would be, can you actually see Christ or the Buddha or pure consciousness in an other or anywhere else if you are not seeing it as your own being? If you are not seeing it as your own being, how would you know you were seeing it in an other? Now, the person mind or thoughts cannot see pure self in another because that mind cannot reach that high. The mind activity of trying to see it in another can never reach that recognition. And also, there, as I said, there are no others to see that light in. So you would have to be seeing your own light, knowing your own light. Now, the thoughts about seeing this light in another, it can bring a nice feeling. That practice can bring a nice feeling. And it can perhaps give the illusion that we are seeing the light in others. Okay. But, that's a big but. If I am not living the reality of my own Christ self, my own Buddha self, my own pure consciousness, my own light, if I'm not living that reality, I cannot see that light, that Christ, that Buddha in another. Because what shines in what we call another is my own reflection. What is recognized is my own reflection, my own. My own self. I can only see myself because that's all that is present. I can only see a reflection of the light of my own being. And I see that reflection everywhere. No trying, no doing. It's like if you stepped in front of a mirror, did you have to try to see the reflection? Did you have to try to see your image in that mirror? No. So, if we're trying to see the perfection and the presence in another, okay, that's just mind being busy. And mind is giving the instructions for the you person to see that light in another person. But there is no other there to see it in. Okay. Again, you don't have to do anything to see a reflection. It could only be the self seeing itself. So, in that, take a step back with that practice and give up the trying. Okay. And rest in the light that is yourself. Do that practice. Rest in that light. And then the recognition of the light that you are resting in becomes reflected in everything. And you don't have to try to do that. Do you have any questions on that part? So there was another part to that request, and it was, to be honest, I'm not sure whether it's making any difference, and it feels but it feels reassuring to consciously connect with the soul there. So again, that would be the activity of mind. The feeling of reassurance, consciously connect. Well, as we do know about feelings, they do come and go, so that feeling of reassurance is just a momentary thing. It's not real. Consciously connect. Okay. Again, you're going to have to be living in the light of your being. And there is a sense in that response of duality, that there is actually a soul there to be connected with, and that there is a soul here that is attempting to make that a connection. And I would ask the questioner that what kind of a difference are you expecting? What I'm not sure whether it's making any difference. But what kind of a difference are you looking for? What is, I kind of got lost in that part of it. But I would ask, who requires the feeling of reassurance? So the thoughts rise up. And again, these are thoughts. The thought rises up. And we begin to accept them as a good idea, or, you know, that's something good. I'll give that a try, or I'll do that. That sounds like a good thing to be doing. So these are all thoughts. But there is just the thoughts rising up, and there was taking them up and then making an action on them. But an action that seems to been looking for some kind of a response, something to come back from the actual action of doing that practice. So when the thoughts rise of this nature, I would challenge the thoughts. Instead of accepting them, sometimes we are lazy. We're just in that conditioning of accepting thoughts that rise up. Okay. And then a thought that it's a good idea. So that goes farther. And then, well, I'll practice. So if you can see that, you can see that clearly, that it's the thoughts, then you can challenge them. But the question would be, why do I want to see the light in another person or another anything? That would be the challenge. Okay. So then also there would be the question of why is there a seeking of reassurance? So that's another one that you would take within. Not allow it to grow out there where it creates here, that there has to be some kind of a doing, some kind of an action. But seeing the thoughts for what they are. Thoughts are just thoughts. Again, if you can see them as an opportunity to challenge them and not just follow their lead, you will be spending more time in that silence that is your nature. Now, do you have any questions on this part? Mary.
Hi,
Oh, good morning.
both of us. Kate, you go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I don't have a question, Mary, but I've been looking at this word trying. I've been watching how I'm there's a this trying. And there's a certain kind of energy with it that I'm becoming more aware of, and that helps me to question the thoughts around it. Who's the problem? It's very it's very I want to say tricky, but that
Tempting.
I'm just really happy you mentioned that word to the, that word is this is really what it's about. It's trying. There's a this sense of needing to get someplace to that I'm the doer of seeing the light, you know, or I'm the doer of eating the right food, or I'm the doer of being this spiritual person. And it's really takes me off track.
It's the thoughts again, and you probably get tired of hearing it, but it is the thoughts, and they need to be challenged when you start following a thought into an action of doing unconsciously. You're unconscious at that point. You need to challenge a thought and come back to being conscious. Okay, that the just following of a thought to go and do, you it's like we come into a state of being unconscious. We're just being, you know, okay, you know. So there again, the flag is waving, guys. The flag is waving. Wait a minute. What's going on? You know. And again, you take that breath and you come back and you challenge those thoughts. Why do I need to see the light in others? We go. The thoughts when they're taking you away from consciousness. Okay, those are your opportunities to be still, to see more clearly. Okay.
Mary.
Yes, love.
Yeah.
Morning.
Yeah, I just want to say this. Thoughts, they are always, sorry, I lost my voice. Thoughts are always coming to us. And I don't know when ever we'll be able to say that we are without thoughts. All the time they are coming. They are coming, you try to put it off, and they are coming. Every time there is a thought in your mind, I don't know how I can be without thought.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm struggling with that. I don't know when I can ever
Okay.
be without a thought.
Well, for us to be without thoughts is not that important. Okay. And it's not that important now. The important part when the thoughts are coming is for you to recognize they're only thoughts. There's no law that says you have to believe a thought. There's no law that says you have to follow a thought into action. That is just, if following the thoughts into action is just going unconscious to the presence that you are. If you can see that you're following the thought, then, okay, I'm following the thought. Okay, so what? So what? It's not a failure. There's nothing wrong with following a thought. It's just that most of us have come to an understanding, I don't wish to do that anymore. So having the thought and following the thought is two different things. So the thought comes, that doesn't mean you have to follow it. And again, if you find yourself following the thoughts, again, that's when you take the breath. You come back to putting your attention on yourself, and you can change those thoughts. The thoughts that come that you seem to be following and you don't wish to have, so just leave them alone. Don't give your attention to them. And that may seem easier said than done, and sometimes it is. But that's our devotion. That is our loving the self, that we will be sincere about recognizing when I'm going unconscious and following thoughts into actions I don't wish to take, or thoughts, or more thoughts that I don't care to be involved in. Okay. You don't take it so seriously. Okay. It's like, okay, I followed the thoughts again. All right. I can see that. It's okay. No worries. And be light and loving with recognizing that the thoughts are just thoughts. They have no power to do anything. If I'm following a thought and getting upset, that's because here I am doing that. I can follow the thoughts without being upset about them when I recognize that I have followed them. It's about love and gentleness and kindness. And as you follow the thoughts again and you recognize, you take the breath. Yeah, I saw that. It's when you take the practices so sincerely that you have to do something or attain something. like attaining no thoughts. No, you don't wish to send and try to attain no thoughts. What you want to do is recognize that they are thoughts and just thoughts. It's like a cloud. It's just a cloud. It doesn't do anything until I surrender or I go unconscious and just let mind have its way. Then the cloud can become all kinds of things. It can become a dark cloud, a thin cloud, a heavy cloud with rain. It can be all kinds of things. And you do that with thoughts, that they can be all kinds of things, but they're just thoughts. It's just a cloud. And that's the altitude that you want to be looking at thoughts from. It's just a thought. And you say, well, they come and they come and they come. Yes, because you feed them with your attention. And the attention you're giving is not wanting them to be there. There is a resistance. And that old saying, what you resist will persist. And it does. So don't try to resist the thoughts. Don't try to have no thoughts. Just let the thoughts be a thought.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mary.
Yes, love. Any? Do we have any questions, Heather? Did you have a question you before Kate?
No, I didn't actually have a question, but
okay.
I wanted to say thank you very much for addressing this today, because as you're aware that it was me that wrote it,
yeah.
And it struck me, it made me smile when I am listening to you, because it made me appreciate how one can so easily, well, like you say, be drawn into the thoughts of doing something, of having a spiritual practice. I found it helpful when you said about the light being a reflection of ourselves, and I hadn't thought of that before. That the light that I see in someone who is supposedly another is actually my own light. And I suppose the reassurance part was because I'd started this practice. If I was making a judgment about another, then by virtue of seeing the light there, appreciating, you know, the divinity there rather than the appearance that I'm seemingly judging.
Okay. As long as you recognize that the judgment to another is a judgment of myself, because that's all that's there. And I forgive that, I release that, and I pay it no more attention. Okay, we don't carry it around. And to recognize that it is myself, and that light is myself, and the judgment is against myself. And then you take a breath and you just return back to consciousness.
Yeah, it strikes me how one can make something so, well, something so simple, make it so complicated, but in reality it's not at all.
That's mind for you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. All right. So I guess we're ready for number two now. This was a long one, so we're going to take it in parts. Okay. So I can read the whole thing, and then we're going to come back and do it in. I am listening to all the Sunday talks over and over again, and still I encounter confusion and resistance. Still difficult to grasp the unreality of appearance, for example, and forgive me for using the wrong words, but I explain it from personhood because the problem is on the level of identity. Every morning I wake up with a depressed sensation and the thoughts come. There is nothing to do. Every day seems the same. I don't see the external expressions of a spiritual fruit. I experience the constant need to sleep and crying without knowing why. When a question arises, how can, then a question rises. How can God be this expression and live like this? What is the true birth in spirit that reveals the real man? I see that all the talks have cleared a lot on the mental plane, but there is no true realization in the heart yet. Is falling asleep during the talks also resistance? And finally, what is choice? Okay. I think it's obvious that all of those questions have relatively the same answer. They are all about personhood. They are all about a person. And the thoughts that are followed and the, so, it is within all of those questions, because they're on person, it is as if you're living in the thoughts, you're living in the mind, and you have given an authority to the mind to tell you who you are. Okay. Okay, so we're going to take each one separately on its own, okay? And recognize that we are talking these for the person idea, these ideas. So there is in the question itself, just the attitude or the altitude of person. The personal beliefs, those are what the questions are being asked on. Okay, so the first one, I'm listening to all the Sunday talks over and over again, and I still encounter confusion and resistance. So here's your red flag. First of all, there is no recognition here that there is no person to be confused or in resistance. The idea, or the thought idea of confusion and the thought ideas of resistance, those are thoughts. So a feeling comes up while listening to a talk. And that feeling is taken up. Oh, I'm confused. I'm confused. That's a thought. The challenge would be, when is God confused? When the thought comes, I am confused, or I am resistant. The challenge to that thought and we've talked about the challenges before, would be something of the nature and always using the reality of the one present. When would God be confused? And is God resisting to challenge the thoughts? Challenge the thoughts. Because there is no person in existence there to be confused or to be resisting. Only thoughts make a statement of feelings. And then the thoughts come of believing those feelings to be something real. So the feeling came. It was accepted as truth that I am confused. So it was accepted without challenge. It was accepted as reality without challenge. So the mind is in charge. The mind is flying the plane. And you are at that point only a passenger, following the thoughts wherever they go. Wherever they go. Because at that point, you have gone into unconsciousness. You have left the reality of being. You have left truth and gone into unconsciousness. And we're going to speak of it that way, so maybe that helps it to be a little clearer for you. So at that point, the altitude could have changed. It could have become one of so here are some thoughts on confusion and resistance. Am I required to believe them? Okay. Am I required by spiritual law to believe in them? Do I have to believe these thoughts and these feelings? Or is it still just a habit? Okay. So you might want to then stop so much listening to audios, listening or reading continuously is all mind action. And that's okay. It's good to read a book. It's good to listen to a tape now and again. But the continuousness of it requires that you stay in the mind, in the attempt to understand. Any questions on that part? The next part. Still difficult to grasp the unreality of appearance, for example. Forgive me for using the wrong words, but I explain it from personhood because the problem is on the level of identity. Every morning I wake up with a depressed sensation and the thoughts come. There is nothing to do. Every day seems the same. Well, the answer is right there. Forgive me for using the wrong words. I explain it from personhood because the problem is on the level of identity. There is no problem with identity. Only the presence is. There is no other identity. So to explain it from personhood because there is no person. Personhood is another thought bundle. It's it's another bundle of concepts. To be a person is like to have a dream of separation, perhaps. But there's no person there to be having a problem. That is the belief that the thoughts that rise in the morning are truth. No thought can be truth. It is on the level of mind. No thought can be the truth. Why? Go back to the one on why it can't be. We have a class on that. No thought can be the truth because it doesn't meet the requirements of truth. And the requirements of truth is unchanging. So a thought would have to be never changing. It would have to be present eternally. That thought would have to be there eternally. But they're not. They come and they go. And if you can see the coming of them as an opportunity to be still, then you are living in an altitude of peace, of quietness. Okay. So the thoughts rise each morning. Okay, that's not unusual. Thoughts of depression and thoughts of self-pity, they're not unusual. Those temptations come to us. It's not unusual. It is not unusual for one who no longer believes in thoughts to have that thought come to him. It's not unusual. Those thoughts are part of the separation belief package. When you open that package of believing in separation, it's like opening Pandora's box. You have opened the door for the thoughts of separation to come, to come, to come. You are to see them as nothing more than a thought. And there is nothing wrong with any thought that rises to your awareness. Again, there is nothing wrong with any thought that rises to your awareness. So a thought of depression or a thought of self-pity, they're not wrong. They're not right. They're not wrong. Why? They're just a thought. Thoughts have no color of right or wrong. We will pick up another thought of judgment and make a thought right or wrong. But in and of itself, the thought is neither right nor wrong. It just is a thought. Okay. But it is up to you, it is up to us whether we are going to pick up that thought, play with it, suffer from it, and believe it, or if we're going to look at it from a higher altitude and recognize it is just a thought. I'm aware of the sensation of depression. I'm aware of the sensation of feeling depressed or feeling bored. I'm aware of those feelings. Yes, indeed. Do you have to believe that they're you? No. Can you imagine God saying, I am depressed. I am bored. There is always something to do. You just have to remember you're not the doer of it. The happenings of the day will take place. Beds will be made, dishes will be washed, food will be prepared, a walk may be taken, the pet may be taken out or played with. There will be happenings of the day. For the so-called spiritual student, you have to recognize you are not the doer of these happenings. They are just taking place within consciousness. So it, when the thoughts arise again, it's up to you to decide if you will believe them and live them, or if you will take the breath and rest back in the heart, which is your own being, rest in your own being, and remain there as the awareness. And just watch the thoughts. And if mind comes up with the thoughts, this is with a thought of that this is difficult to just sit here and watch the thoughts, then again, it is up to you to decide if you're going to live the lie of these thoughts or if you're going to take a breath and be still. When you understand that there's nothing wrong with the thoughts, you will stop resisting them. You will stop trying to get rid of them. You will just leave them alone. And again, I like feeding the seagulls. If you stop feeding them, they will not come. And when they do come, they come with a different light to them, a differentness to them. But it is up to you. You are the one that is present and aware of the thoughts, right? But there does have to be a sincere and a loving effort on our parts. So if you feel that there is a problem on the level of person, that right there should be the stopper. Like, whoa, where's the person to be having this problem? Where is that one? So there's no person. There's no to be even having a problem. And only a thought is going to tempt you to believe otherwise. So it's up to you to see the lies of thoughts of separation. You can read about that. You can listen about that. But it is up to you to make the effort to do what is needed to come out from the idea of separation. In reality, there is no separation. One has never been separate. Okay? Any questions on that part? So, I don't see the external expressions of the spiritual fruit. Okay, and the mind never will. The thoughts of separation, the belief in being a separate identity or being a person, that person, that concept of being a person, it has no real existence. So only the thoughts are saying that there is a person and it is separate. So here again, who is the I that is expecting to see an external expression of the spiritual fruit? Are you living within the silence and being that spiritual fruit? You have everything that is. But the person, the ego, has no recognition of that. It doesn't recognize that. In order to see the expression of spiritual fruit, you have to be the presence of spiritual fruit. And are you living that now? Mind is not going to see it. Ego is not going to see it. So when we look from mind, when we look from separation, when we look from ego, we do not see these because mind, ego, thoughts do not express spiritual fruit. So you have to release those and be well, we've come up to an hour already. You want to continue, or shall we save the rest of this for next Sunday? I don't
Mary?
Want to push too much in there. Yes, yes, Leah.
Thank you for reading my letter. I think that every answer you will give is the same. So what I feel when I hear you reading my letter, it's like still the arrogance than when you are a spiritual student. It's like I feel that I still have this need, that, like this specialness that we talked about it.
Yes.
Like
yes.
When you're a spiritual student, you should be blah, 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 and you should be able to do. So I feel the arrogance and the need to be special. So that's what I hear in the words you are saying. So thank you very much.
Okay. All right. So, yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Mary. Mary.
Yes.
I think what I am taking from this really wealth of diving deep is there needs to be an alert effort to see separation.
You have to be conscious.
You have to be, and I don't mean Kate, personal Kate has to be more consciousness, more
Correct.
Resting, more resting
Correct.
And being the stillness that I am.
Right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So I think we're going to mark this here where we stopped, and we're going to pick it up from there next Sunday. We can continue with this letter. But if there's no more questions, we'll call this one finished for today. So let us pray. Most beloved self, there is nothing I need do to be the light I already am. I am the life eternal already. I am the unborn, formless, infinite presence already. I rest in the emptiness of silence, complete and fulfilled. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Om Shanti. Amen. Om Namaste.